I have a lot to thank my latest guest on Soundtracking, who cheered me up no end during lockdown with his glorious, batty, but brilliant new comedy, Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga. David Dobkin is a writer, director who brought us Shanghai Nights, The Wedding Crashers and The Judge, as well as numerous music videos for the likes of Tupac and Maroon 5. This latest endeavour stars Will Ferrell, Rachel McAdam, Pierce Brosnan and Dan Stevens and tells the story of an unlikely Icelandic pop duo who get the chance to represent their country at Eurovision. I absolutely love this film and you can see why on Netflix right now. If you need cheering up, go immediately. Before we get to David though, a word from our very good friends at Grass & Co. Now, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, you'll have heard me enthuse about them in the past, and they have very kindly given us a special offer for you. Now, Grass & Co. is a premium CBD range of the finest quality, ethically sourced CBD blended with therapeutic botanical ingredients. So I've been using it for well over a year now, but recently I did fall out of the habit of taking drops first thing in the morning and last thing at night. I then placed a new order and started back up immediately. And I've got to say the difference was instantaneous. I slept better. I felt less anxious. I was able to get through the day calmer and more focused. Let's be honest, in the situation we find ourselves in, who doesn't want to feel less stressed? Now, in the past, when I've tried other CBD products, I have struggled with the taste that it's left in my mouth. With Grass & Co. and the way they blend the oil with organic botanical ingredients like ginger, turmeric, orange, ashwagandha, chamomile and mint, it makes the taste much more smooth and pretty delicious. Now, there are a number of ranges available with candles, nourishing body oils, pillow sprays to complement the consumable oil. I'm a big fan of the Calm range. 100% natural drops, which are direct, fast acting and taste great. Grass & Co. only use the best of the best organic CBD and botanicals with products that work with your body to deliver uplifting results you can feel instantly. Grass & Co. CBD oils contain no trace of THC and all the CBD products are totally legal to buy, consume and supply in the UK. Genuinely, I don't know how I would have got through lockdown as productively as I have without it. So how do you fancy getting 25% off and free shipping? All you've got to do is use the discount code SOUND at checkout and claim your 25% off the entire Grass & Co. Calm, Ease and Rest CBD ranges. So head to grassandco.com/soundtracking now. And don't forget to use the discount code SOUND at checkout for the 25% off and free shipping. That's grassandco.com/soundtracking. Discover CBD today. Visit grassandco.com for a better day. Grass & Co, life enhanced by nature. And so to David. Now, as well as a beautiful score by Atli Overson, The Story of Fire Saga also features plenty of songs in keeping with the spirit of Eurovision. And it's with one of those that we begin. I give you Volcano Man.
Woke up at night, I heard floating chords. They guided me to the highland fjords. Above the clouds, on a mountain peak, there he sat, and he began to speak.
Door.
amazing. Congratulations on Eurovision. I've got to get its full title. Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga. Oh, it was, do you know what? It was just what I needed. It was just the perfect tonic. So, David, thank you so much.
So glad to hear that. I'm hoping that right now, it feels like an odd time to be putting out a movie. So I'm really happy that it could create some levity and some fun and some warmth for a couple hours.
Well, obviously, I guess there was a plan to tie in with the kind of Eurovision and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that would have been lovely. We were supposed to be in Rotterdam for the premiere. The night after the final, we were going to have a big shindig there and bring whoever won from the night before and bring in all of these people that, spoiler alert, are in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been quite a reunion, a Eurovision all-star. Event.
It could still be done. It can still happen. We could have. Yeah. So I'm going to buy a ticket. I'm going to come. Where did the idea for this come from? Because I don't even know how to describe the film, really, because anything I come up with doesn't really do it justice.
Oh, I love that. You know, look, Will has been a fan of Eurovision for 18 years.
Which is mental.
I know, I love it. But you know, his wife is Swedish. I'm sure you've heard the story. He goes to, he lives in Sweden 3 months of the year during the summer. And usually he's landing there in late May or middle of May and getting there. And Eurovision was on every year and he fell in love with it. And he pursued the rights on his own. He actually got the rights from the EBU after showing up there like three or four times years in a row. They finally realized he was serious. And they gave him the rights to it. And then he brought them to Netflix and then brought them to me, luckily. And I read the script. You know, when I got the script, I did not know what Eurovision was.
Where did you start then?
I started by saying, no, I don't want to do a movie with a song contest. And then my agent was like, well, Will is sending it to you. He wants you to read it. And so I read it and the script was really fun and really kind of crazy and absurdist. But I still didn't know that it was a real contest. And I said, well, I think this is a really fun script, but we may have to change the title. I don't think it's a good title. And then my agent was like, it's a real thing. I think you should go on the internet and take a look. So I Googled it and I was shocked. And I sat there for a couple of hours and just watched all of the finalists of the last like 5-6 years and was pretty blown away. There's nothing like this in America. It's so big. There's no music contest that is put on in front of 20,000 people live in an arena. I mean, it is such a huge thing to pull off. I was shocked and amazed and a little bit concerned how we were going to do it.
Yeah.
Which going to Eurovision in Tel Aviv solved all those problems because we could shoot the real audience and use all of the live real stuff. And the EBU was so supportive of us coming and doing that. But the thing that was really amazing to me was that this is an event that's bigger than the Super Bowl in America, which is the biggest event in America. It's, you know, almost 30% larger. And how could I have never heard of it? I just was amazed.
It's, I mean, it was a religion really almost growing up in you know, I grew up in Scotland and the first one I remember was Bucks Fizz when they kind of ripped the skirts off Making Your Mind Up.
Yeah.
You know, my mum was the big, the kind of, you know, the Waterloo, which obviously it features in the film. So I think that's the kind of massively iconic one, I think, as well.
I know people, when I got, and I shot in London and Edinburgh, there were so many people that loved it and so many people that hated it. And even the people that hated it still watch it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's
I was like, why do you watch it? They're like, well, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to drink and watch the finals, at least see the scores come in.
Yeah. It's almost like Hogmanay, like bringing in the new year. It's like, get everybody around and we all nil pois, it's all that kind of stuff. Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, the casting is brilliant.
Thank you.
Rachel and Will's chemistry, it's kind of really perfect in terms of the way they play these characters that have this kind of real childlike innocence to life, really, and whatever is kind of thrown at them.
Yeah.
It's really brilliant and not easy to kind of convey, I think, as well.
They both have such sweetness in them as people.
Mm.
When obviously Will was already cast, and when I read it and I read the character, I was like, oh, he'll find such a lovely way to do this. I mean everything, he has a way of being acerbic and also lovable at the same time. So I knew Will was great, and I loved the character. I felt it was very different than anything I'd seen him do for quite some time, and it required some real acting scenes, and it required him singing, which he does well, and all kinds of crazy stuff. But Rachel ended up being like the perfect person because she is also a really nice human being. Just she's got a sweetness and a warmth inside of her. And as you said, a childlike innocence, like you can believe these two actually bumped around with each other for a couple decades without getting into a real conversation about their relationship. That's the key. That's like, do you believe that? Do you go on that ride? And somehow you do. And they really had a wonderful chemistry. She kind of, I didn't realize how long it's been since she's been in a comedy.
Yeah.
But obviously I met her she was in a comedy with me. So, and she did a lot of comedies before and after, but it had been quite some time. And I realized that when I was on set after the first couple of days, I'm like, wow, no one's really seen you swing like this in a while. And it's going to be really fun.
Yeah. And I think that's the brilliant thing about the script and the performances is that it's not taken, pardon my French, it's not taking the piss out of Eurovision. It's kind of, it means so much to these characters. And so getting that tone right, I can't imagine, it's just quite precise.
I love that you said that. That was a really, really big part of when I took the movie. I had a conversation with Will. I said, God, I feel like when you do something like this, you should be making the movie for the people that love it.
Mm.
And I was already falling in love with it. So I was like, I don't really want to make fun of it, even though it's campy. I was like, first of all, you can't out Eurovision. You can't get weirder and stranger and crazier and also more emotional. And like the blend of what that tone is so strange and so specific.
Yeah.
I mean, like whether it's Lordi winning with that crazy getup, which we homage, to, Salvador, who was just a beautiful song with a piano in his voice that his sister wrote.
Si un día alguien preguntar por mí, diz que viví para te amar antes de ti, só existi.
I mean, it goes from the most big, explosive performances to the most personal, intimate, emotional stuff. And there's nothing that does that. And, we spoke about the tone and I said, I never want to be making fun of the event or really fun of the people in the event. I think I just want to set a comedy at the event. It's just, you're there. And we're trying to do our best of portraying a real version of what it is. And we spoke about the movie Fargo for some time because Fargo is a movie that, even though they're talking with their accents and it's set in the world and some of the characters are very simple,
yeah,
it does not look down on those characters. There's no comedy at the expense of them. In fact, they're almost, Frances McDormand, her simpleness is what makes her solve the case. She has a simple way of seeing life and there's a power to it. So
yeah.
We always talked about that. We wanted the performances to be grounded and we really wanted the tone to be, we wanted to make a love letter to the event. So that's kind of what we were aiming for.
Ever since we were children, we've had one dream.
Winning
the Eurovision Song Contest.
All right, everyone, I am Lord.
Lars, this is Sigrid. We are Fire Saga.
Who wants to hear a Eurovision song?
All of Iceland think we are a joke.
That's not true.
And my father is ashamed of me.
No, he's not.
He looked me into the eyes and said, I am ashamed of you.
Maybe he was drunk.
He said, and you might think that I'm drunk, but I am dead sober.
Idiot.
Officially, Fire Saga will be representing Iceland at Eurovision this year.
I hate them.
Absolutely terrible.
They're old, disgusting people. But we have no choice.
So we're in.
When it came to the music around the film, because obviously, you know, you need songs for, you know, for people to perform and sing, but you know, it's a feature film, you need a score as well. But then you also have, there's a moment in the film as well, which is brilliant, which is this medley with all these participants.
Yes.
Oh my God, I've rewatched that scene about 40 times. It's so good. And it goes from like Cher into Black Eyed Peas and a bit of Ray of Light in there. And it's so good.
Celine Dion. Yeah. That, you know, that was in the script, it was written that there was a song along, which I thought was so funny. Even in the script, it was like everything was a little chain off and weird. And it said, you know, it had something about hopefully, you know, stars of our movie and stars of past would all kind of show up at this thing. So I had to pick some music for that. And I went back and kind of zeroed in on songs that I loved that felt Euro to me. Mm-hmm. As in, like, they could have been hits in Europe and in America. And that's how I got to that. You know, I thought the Cher song, which was a music video I almost directed way back in the day.
Oh, wow.
I always loved that song.
No matter how hard I try, you keep pushing me aside.
Madonna, I'm a big fan of. And then, you know, having to go to ABBA because it's ABBA and Celine because it's Celine. And then the Black Eyed Peas was a bit of a curveball, but I love that song so much. And it was funny because we were clearing I Got a Feeling and we hadn't cleared it yet. And they were a little bit like, what are you doing? And how are you using it? We weren't even done mixing the song yet. I mean, creating the song. And Will Ferrell bumped into Will.i.am at a restaurant in London. And he said, oh, hey, we want to use I Got a Feeling. And he was like, sure. So literally the next day, I was like, well, Will.i.am says it's okay. I'm like, can you please call very quickly and clear the song?
I got a feeling that tonight's going to be a good night. That tonight's going to be a good night. That tonight's going to be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. I feel it. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. I feel it. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. Tonight's the night. Let's live it up. I got.
But, you know, I wanted to create one of those moments that was like in, you know, musical movies, but done with like a disco kind of modern groove underneath it into a dance thing that had a big climactic payoff in the end, but it's still telling story during it, by the way, mm-hmm. but a climactic payoff that, you know, along the lines of like what the Wedding Crashers montage was, like something that just really built and gave the audience almost like a musical set piece of sorts. So,
yeah.
And it was really fun to create, but very hard to get all those people to come.
Was it?
Extremely. I mean, the number of phone calls to managers and artists and trying to explain what it was very complicated. It took months and months. And then when they were all finally there, it was 3 days of the most amazing filmmaking experience I've ever had, because these people are great performers. I had choreography with the camera and them and all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, everybody, because these are long takes, has to hit all these marks. And then you realize they're all really super talented. Aside from being singers, they've obviously been on that stage before.
They know how to work the camera.
Oh my God, it was such a joy. It was so much fun. No matter how hard I try, you keep pushing me aside and I can't break through. There's no talking to you. It's so sad that you're leaving. It takes time to believe it. But after all, it's said and done. You're gonna be the lonely one. Oh.
Was that an easy thing to work out? And with composer side of things, working with, it's Atlee in terms of the...
Yeah, you know, I held off on hiring a composer for a very long time on this film. I really was unsure what the score should be. And we had a very hard time temp scoring it. You know, when you put temporary score, finding the right tone. The tone was always hard on the movie, always chasing it. And all of a sudden, I got a phone call from Amy Dunning, who's the head of music at Netflix, who, by the way, also put me in touch with my songwriters who wrote all this original music that was amazing. And she said, there's this Icelandic composer that's in town right now. I think you should meet him. And I looked at his work. It was almost all action movies and stuff, or dark, dark stuff. And yeah, there was this one score he had done for a Haley Steinfeld movie. And I heard one cue off of it, and I was like, oh my God, this guy's got the voice. Like, he's done it one time. This is like someone I consider to be a very talented person who has just not been put into that lane before. And I showed him the movie, and he was like, after the opening scene of the film, which he was so moved by, because we took a lot of time to get the accuracy of Iceland in there and to shoot Iceland for real. And even like little things like, he's like, how did you know about the beer and the ham? Because in the beginning, the guy walks in with the beer and the ham, and in 1974, that was banned in Iceland, but the fishermen would bring it in illegally for special occasions like this. I said, when I was scouting Iceland, I kept pulling stories out of people, and someone told me about this. But he said, I have a theme in my head, and I'm going to go home and just lay it down. He sent it to me 2 days later, and it was the theme that we have in the movie. I was trying so hard to hire and use everybody from the real countries. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 15 cast members, I think, from Iceland. Melissa, that plays Mita, is from Greece for real. I didn't want people representing their countries and not from their countries. Obviously, Will and Rachel, Pierce and Dan are an exception. But almost everybody else really does represent the countries that they come from. And it was really one of those amazing things. I mean, I had Sigur Rós in the score. I opened with a traditional Icelandic song. Like, I had it everywhere. And yeah. So he knew what I was going for. And it was such a joy for me to have the composer, which was the hardest part of the casting of my crew in this movie, come from Iceland and literally hand me the theme 2 days after seeing the movie. And from there, it was just an absolute joy. And I can't even separate what he did from the tone of the movie anymore. Like, it's he was the final piece of gluing that all together.
Did the songwriters come on board then? Because, you know, they're writing
immediately.
Okay.
Immediately, when I first got hired, I literally that week was like, okay, the music has to be great, and I don't want it to be a joke. It's the music has humor to it, but it's not jokey in the, you know, like dick in a box sense. You know, it's not skit music. It's real music. And so I said, let's have a real budget for this. And I would need to talk to the best songwriters that are like, really, who are the best songwriters in the world? And literally one of the list of the five people that we had demo was this guy, Savin Koteka, who works with Max Martin at this Swedish Svengali hit factory. You know, yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable. And he's like, oh, it's so funny. He goes, my wife is from Sweden. I spent the summers there. And I do everything I can not to listen to the Eurovision music because I'm afraid I'm going to be influenced by it. He goes, so it's my dream to write this music. And I literally went in the next meeting with Andrew Steele, the writer, into their studio, and he played us Double Trouble. And we have never changed a note of that song. It was so good. And the next day I brought it to Will and I said, you got to hear this. Like, this is, it's funny, but it's, the music's great. The hook is undeniable. And I think this is what we should be doing with the music.
I saw you, and then all of my eyes turned on, and you turned round, and I suddenly found my glory.
Sometimes I pinch myself, 'cause I don't know, am I dreaming now? I wanna stop the clocks and hold you close, but I don't know how.
So they wrote, they had to nail two of the songs before the Tel Aviv photography, because when we went to Tel Aviv, we took those songs, we rewrote the melodies so that the, in Israel, if anyone was filming it, they wouldn't have it, but the songs are the same. And we had the lighting done at Tel Aviv. And for 15 minutes before both semifinals, we got on stage, ran our music, told the audience they were going to be in a Eurovision movie. And they are in, that's in the movie. And it's unbelievable that we have the songs done in time to shoot at Tel Aviv and actually match our lighting and make the magic of a simple kind of poor man's process of putting together the concert worked.
Wow. That's amazing.
But so the music would let everything, you know, everything starts with the music because it's a music movie.
Did he sort of, you know, I imagine you obviously read the script, but in terms of, you know, the characters and thinking about Will, for example, you know, in terms of him playing that part in Rachel, and was that a kind of discussion in terms of, I guess, how the songs were written or the...
We did not write the songs with them. You know what? They wrote knowing Will was there, mm-hmm. and they knew Sigrid had to be a presence and a powerful presence.
Yeah.
And, you know, they wrote these duets and they were really, really, always really amazing. And Husavik, one of the last songs in the movie, was a very... That song took a long time to nail.
All by myself, with this great big world before me, but it's all for someone else. I've tried and tried again to let you know just where my heart is, to tell the truth and not pretend. All I needed was to get away, just to realize that I was meant to stay. Where the mountains sing through the screams of seagulls, where the whales can't live 'cause they're gentle people.
Grab me, yeah.
all of a sudden we realized it was starting to carry a bigger need in the movie. It was going to deliver the ending. It had to wrap up and be about something that was their story. It was very, very tricky. That one took a few months of back and forth to really get right. But a lot of the music was magic. I mean, Lion of Love, I had mentioned to Savin, I said, I see an opening where like there's like this operatic thing, which was, and by the way, I didn't mean for him to use an opera singer. I just meant a riff, like a, hey, like almost like the opening of a Queen song.
Yeah.
And then he sends me this thing and he gets an opera singer and it's so weird and perfect. I was like, oh my God, okay, let's do that. Can we put an opera singer? I'm like, but it's Eurovision. You can do anything.
Exactly.
The thousands tried to tame me, but I roam free. Until I saw you and you saw me. It's a jungle out there, so hold on tight. You're about to see how I spend my night. I'll be the king you wanted, you'll be the queen I need. And on and on and on and on. Let's get together. I'm a lion lover and I hunt for love. On the savannah, I will make you rise up to the sky above. And when I woo, you know I'm done. Somewhere, someone tonight will meet the lion.
It was just really, it was such a fun process and such a great experience. And by the way, Will and Rachel, you know, Rachel had never sang, had never played guitar, and had never played piano. And she, from the minute she took this on, because she's like a total pro. You know, she wants everything. She, you know, she learned to sing. She learned to play piano. She learned to play guitar. She does all of her own instrumental playing. And she sings a large part of the movie as well, because she, you know, Molly came in and we blend. And by the way, we actually re-recorded Rachel at the end of the movie, going back in the studio, because she got so much better. She kept getting better and better as we went.
Yeah.
And it was funny because like the day that we shot her writing the song, she had never sang out loud for me. And she kept saying, you know, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. And I was like, well, if you can't, then we'll get Molly to sing over your parts. And after the first take, she sang so beautifully. I came in and I'm like, you're such a liar. Every time you always do that to me. You're like, I don't know. This doesn't make sense to me. And then she nails it.
Wow.
So it was a lovely experience to just see her take on so much and be able to show up and actually sing whole parts in the movie.
Just quickly on a couple of other people in the film. I mean, Pierce Brosnan, incredible in this. I mean,
he's so amazing.
If we could have loved him anymore. I mean, he's like a fine wine as well. He's, you know, in terms of like the Silver Fox, it's beautiful. It's lovely.
He's just someone that every time you see him, you realize you want to see more of him.
Yeah.
You know, and he was, you know, he's the emotional core of the movie. And we wanted a real actor. And there were, you know, his role and Dan's role, there were every agency, all these names of people coming in. And I remember saying to Pierce was really Will, something that came off of Will's head, because he was like, who would be the most humiliating person if your father was the most amazing, gorgeous man in the world and he thought you were the biggest loser? Who would that be? I was like, I don't know. Who is that? He goes, Pierce Brosnan. I'm like, okay, perfect. It was so funny. And Pierce played it beautifully because he's funny and he never leaves the true emotional center of the movie either. He made it real. You know, we talked a lot about Billy Elliot and the arc in that movie, which is a movie I love, and about a father that doesn't understand his son.
That's a really great comparison. That's amazing.
Yeah. And then Dan Stevens.
Oh my God. He was my other one I wanted to mention.
I can't even say. I don't know if there's ever been an actor that I cast that overperformed in a movie this much. I mean, overperformed as in like overperformed beyond my expectations. We had a lot of big name people that wanted to come in and play with Will.
Yeah.
And I sat down with Will in Tel Aviv when we were shooting in Tel Aviv at the finals. And I was like, what about Dan Stevens? He's like, is that the dude that dies in the crash, in the car crash? I'm like, yeah. He's like, he's great. I'm like, he's also in this TV show Legion, which is a TV show that was, I'm sure, genius, but didn't make a lot of sense to me. But somehow Dan was so centered in a weird, I just said, I think this guy is amazing. And I think the love triangle will work great. He just is an actor that seems like he's just still starting out. And I was really curious about. So it was a bit of a courting process with him. He loves Will. He was unsure. We had a breakfast. We had a lot of emails. We had some phone calls. And I was like, man, how do I get this guy in? And it was very funny because Tabitha Duomo, who choreographed the movie and is very in America, she's a huge choreographer.
Mm-hmm.
She sent me this video of the first rehearsal to Lion of Love with her people in LA. She's like, this is my first idea of the choreography, which is what you see in the movie. And I flip it to Dan and I go, I don't think I wrote anything into it. I think I just sent it to him. I think I just said, here's the choreography. And I was like, if this guy has any questions about it, I don't think this is going to be the right movie for him.
Yeah.
And he sends me this text back. He goes, I'm on my way to the gym right now. It was so funny.
That's brilliant.
And you know, the next thing he said to me was like, is it okay if I never wear a shirt in the film? And I'm like, what? He's like, I'll have jackets, but I never want to wear a shirt. I'm like, okay.
That's great. I love those weird things that people see into the kind of, you know, the creation of their characters. Those
yeah,
little things.
That it's was like,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Helps them kind of, yeah, yeah, get there.
And he was just so great. And you know, he just is a monster, and audiences have flipped out over him in this movie.
It's really funny.
He's one of the highest rated. I mean, you don't normally have people rate as score through the roof the way he did.
Yeah, so great. It's been lovely just knowing I was chatting to you today and kind of reconnecting with a lot of your other work, you know, be it The Judge and Wedding Crashers and The Change Up, and just kind of really taking a moment to look at the connection with music throughout those films and how different.
Oh, I love that.
The requirements of music, you know, with Thomas Newman with The Judge, beautiful score on that film.
He is such a talent. I don't think the emotion of the movie ever would have been, you know, look, there's a reason he's been nominated 13 times for an Oscar. Like, there's nothing like his music. And by the way, the experience of watching him put it together was unbelievable, but it was interesting. Very early on, Robert Downey and I had a conversation. I was like, who do you think scores this movie? I mean, it's a real emotional. Because a lot of the emotion is tucked back in a lot of the movie until we get to halfway through the film.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. He goes, Thomas Newman. And I was like, oh, well, I've always wanted to work with the guy. I don't know if we can get him. He's like, you'll get him. I'll write him a letter or something. I was like,
I'm Robert Downey Jr. I'm Iron Man. I can
do it. Yeah, like, I can make that. I can help you make that happen.
Thank you.
Yeah, music is key. And music videos have become a part of my life, actually, since The Judge. You know, when The Judge opened, and it didn't open as big as we would have hoped, I was in Rome with Robert, and we were having a premiere in Italy. And it was funny because Adam Levine, who's a friend of mine, texted me and said, I need you to do this video, please. And for 10 years, he'd been asking me to do videos. And I was sad, so I was like, okay, I don't even care what it is. Just send me the song and we'll do it. Mm-hmm. And we made this music video together, which is where I kind of started out. And, you know, it's had over 3 billion views now. It's a song called Sugar. It's a video of them crashing weddings. It was just lovely. It was such a lovely experience, and it reminded me how music is so important to me and camera movement. And I think going back in and doing the 4 videos with him I've done over the last 7 years,
yeah,
really made this movie make sense to me in a new way. You know, in fact, there's a video for Maroon 5 called Girls Like You that I did with them. That is the basis of what the song along kind of was built on,
yeah,
in concept.
It's been 24 hours, I need more hours with you. You spent the weekend getting even. We spent the late nights making things right between us. But now it's all good, babe. Roll that backwood, babe, and play me close. Cause girls like you run around with guys like me till sundown. When I come through, I need a girl like you, yeah, yeah. Girls like you love fun and yeah, me do what I want. When I come through, I need a girl like you, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I need a girl like you.
What's amazing when you think of the artists that you've worked with on the music video side of things as well, you know, an incredible collection.
It's always such a pleasure. I mean, it's amazing to, the thing that's always scary about music videos is you love these songs and you love these artists. You're like, there's only one shot for you to ever put visuals to it. And it seems like you have to do justice to the song. You have to really find a way to take what they were expressing and make it amplified and magnified for the viewer to experience, which is movies too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think it's nice because it's your interpretation of what you get from their music as well, yeah. Which is...
But what a decision. I mean, you know, the when someone tells you they pick your idea or they pick your treatment, and you're like, oh my God, I got to really deliver this. What if I screw up their song? Like, it's happened to me. It's not like, you know, I've done commercials for 20 years for Ridley Scott's company, and, you know... If you mess up a car commercial, they're still selling cars. You screw up somebody's song. I mean, they still probably are going to do okay, but you could really like affect the outcome of their music.
So, people like Tupac and, you know. And
that was unbelievable. I'm very, very lucky that I got that experience. And he was ballsy that he picked me to make those 2 videos with him. Mm. I was a kid that had basically almost done nothing.
Amazing.
And he liked what I wrote, and I met him in person, and he's a very smart guy, Tupac. Incredibly intelligent. He almost was a Jekyll Hyde character. Not as if one side was good or bad, but there were 2 very different personalities, his street personality and his actor intelligence, kind of, you know, a son of a Black Panther. And he was just so, so bright. One of the smartest people I've ever worked with.
Oh yeah. Round and round, round we go. I get around. Still clown when the underground when we come around. Round and round, round we go. Stronger than ever.
cause oh, they sweat a brother majorly. And I don't know why your girl keeps paging me to tell me that she needs me. Cries when she leaves me, and every time she sees me, she squeeze me. Lady, take it easy. Hate to sound sleazy, but tease me. I don't want it if it's that easy. Hey, yo, bust it. Baby, got a problem saying bye-bye. Just another hazard of a fly guy. Your ass why don't matter. My pockets got fatter. Now everybody's looking for the ladder. And ain't no need in being greedy. If you wanna see me, try to keep a number, baby, when you need me. And I'll be there in a jiffy. Don't be picky, just be happy with this quickie. But when you learn, you can't time it down, baby, dog. Check it out. I get around.
But he saw me, some long-haired, ponytailed kid, and he gave me a shot. You know, I was 23 years old, and
wow.
That was an unbelievable experience. And videos carried me through so much of my career at different moments, you know, really important moments.
Well, I think you kind of see that in your films, in the way that you appreciate kind of the what music can do and the power of music, you know, in
everything.
Terms of,
yeah. I was a big Scorsese fan. As a kid, I was, you know, I love those movies, and I think that the way Marty used music was very influential for me. And later, you know, more other people as you get into Tarantino and things like that. But those initial, you know, the opening of Mean Streets is like, you get hit by it and you're like watching De Niro blow up a mailbox while they're singing Be My Baby is like, it's just, there's something to it. The magic of movies,
yeah,
you know, when you get it right, whether it's, you know, Chicago or Dreamgirls or, you know, it's an unbelievable thing, by the way. And it's not just that. I mean, you look back on some of the biggest movies ever, whether it's, you know, Dirty Dancing or Flashdance,
yeah,
or any of those.
I loved Flashdance
or Fame, the Alan Parker,
yeah,
movie was so, that was a big influence on me. As well as, you know, all that jazz and other things like that. But the music is such a, it's a special place. And I had such a thrill watching Bradley. You know, for me to watch Joaquin do Walk the Line.
Yeah.
When he took that movie, he couldn't sing and couldn't play guitar.
Well, because you worked with him like way back, didn't you? Like
my first movie was with Joaquin was the lead. And then seeing Bradley do A Star Is Born. You know, and he texted me one of his early screen tests. He goes, does this look like I'm playing guitar? Does this sound good? And I'm like, how long have you been playing? Like, he was playing for 6 months and I've been playing for 20 years and he plays better than me. I was so frustrated. I'm like, why can actors do this?
Maybe it's time to let the old ways die. Maybe it's time to let the old ways die. Takes a lot to change a man. Hell, it takes a lot to try. Maybe it's time to let the old ways die.
Listen, I could chat to you for hours, and I hope we get a chance to do this again at some point if you're across here in the UK or whatever.
Sure, yeah. Your questions are lovely. Thank you so much.
And thank you for your film, because as I said, it's just what I needed right now. And you've done a brilliant and beautiful job, and it's a pleasure to chat to you. Thank you so much.
Thank
David.
You. Bless you.
When I feel your gentle touch and things are going our way, I swear and burst when I see what we
la, ding, ding, dong.
From Eurovision Song Contest, the story of Fire Saga, that's Ya Ya Ding Dong, rounding off this latest episode of Soundtracking with the wonderful David Dobkin. Oh, I loved spending time with him. My huge thanks to David for taking the time to talk to us. Eurovision is available on Netflix now, and it really, 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 really does brighten up these gloomy days. We'll put a Spotify playlist for this show up, which you can access via edithbowman.com. My website is also the place you can catch up with all of our previous episodes, including my chat about music with Martin Scorsese's editor, Thelma Schoonmaker. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. We are at Soundtracking UK. And also have a look at our YouTube channel too, where you'll find a little weekly show that I'm putting together with guests from the world of film, music and television. Over the last few weeks, we've had the likes of Rob Delaney, Emilia Warner, the fantastic composer, Orlando Weeks and Ex Maccabee, Himesh Patel, to name but a few. So head over to YouTube and search for Soundtracking with Edith Bowman. Next up, a composer who's worked with the likes of Kenneth Branagh, Amat Asante, Mike Newell, Brian De Palma, Alfonso Cuarón, to name but a few. He is an absolute treat to chat to. Join me next week as I chat to the legendary composer Patrick Doyle. I very much look forward to the pleasure of your company then. In the meantime, stay safe.